Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Here in WMR.FM. It's our second show of 2025, recorded live to podcast on the 9th of January, 2025. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. Good day, Christine.
Hello, how are you today?
Well, you know, sitting in that state of suspended animation, waiting for everything to change a few weeks from now and putting in the motions. Until it does, pretty much. I'm having a rough day. I'm watching the fires in Los Angeles and thinking of all the people who we know and and thinking that this is what 1.5 gets us. What comes next? And our reluctance to even think about that. I'm just thinking a bunch of awful stuff today, so I'm not really having a great day. How about you?
Well, I worked all night. There are howling winds. Actually, I don't mind that though, because you don't get that very often. So it sounds like a horror film outside my door. And the California fires are absolutely horrific. I was watching the early news today, and the reporters were going through their cameras, and it looks like a nuclear bomb went off. The winds were 100 miles an hour. One spark would fly somewhere, and then 10 minutes later, people were being told to like leave and evacuate. They had 10 minutes to 20 minutes to get out of their houses. So it's just been horrible. Since we're not live, you know, there's no advice I'm going to give today that would be helpful. But at least we could give some credit to Airbnb. They do have up their normal disaster program, and they're working with the 211 number in Los Angeles County, I believe it is, where if you don't have anywhere to go, they will give you a place for free for a week, which is really nice. They do that in all the disasters. So it's nice to see they're still doing it. That's a positive for today. And then, of course, Jimmy Carter's funeral was today.
Jimmy Carter's funeral is today. The Google logo is grayed out on the Google homepage. If you click it, it leads to a search with Jimmy Carter. And his funeral ended at the time of this recording, but I believe the click on that led to a video of the funeral as well.
Yeah, and it was a lovely ceremony, and or not ceremony, if I'm wrong word, I'm sorry. But his grandson spoke, and it was just really lovely. He told very cute stories, like Jimmy Carter was a nuclear, I don't know if he's a physicist, but anyways, he was a nuclear guy. And he tried to make a call to his grandson, and he didn't mean to make a call because he was taking a photo and accidentally called him. Like little stories like that. It was like super cute. And it reminded us of some of the big stuff Carter did, like FEMA. So FEMA is going to help all these people who lost their homes, and literally their homes are just gone. There's nothing left. So you know, it was nice to have a reminder of just all the amazing things that he did as a human being.
And
it was a very, very nice service. Did you know, just real quick, and we'll move on, that when you become president of the United States, you have to plan your funeral almost immediately?
Well,
in
yeah, naturally.
You die in office? Yeah,
you become an internationally public figure. So yeah, they want to make sure everything is straightened out from beginning to natural end.
So a lot of what we saw today, he had planned years ago when he was president.
Sure.
So,
Okay, if you again, by the time the podcast gets released and aired publicly, you will know that the Hollywood sign probably did not burn. It may burn between now and then, but at the time of this recording, any image of the Hollywood sign burning is idiots using AI.
Yeah, and I think that's our reporting on it today, right? Like, it is iconic, but not normally in our wheelhouse. But I saw last night all these reports that it was burning. And we have official, as of like an hour ago, that it has not been destroyed or damaged severely in any way. The people that take care of it, they said it's AI generated images and videos that Showing the sign on fire have circulated. One got 380,000 views, no, 340,000 views. So just remind everybody, be careful what you believe when you're looking online, because not from a reputable source. It could just be something someone made up with
Indeed.
images.
Indeed. And moving into 2025, I think the watchword is going to be use extreme caution when reporting anything. Just because you see it, or just because somebody said it as speculation, doesn't mean it's actually true. And we owe ourselves, especially as content creators, as for want of a better word, as webmasters, as people who control some flow of content, onto the internet, into the public sphere, it's pretty important that every rule of veracity, every rule that guarantees the vague truth of information is followed. So we live in a world where did you know? And Elon Musk confirmed this earlier, when he was speculating that there is really no more information, at least no more human generated, naturally human generated information for AI to even train on anymore, that more content has been created since November 2022, when ChatGPT was introduced to the public, than all of human creation had before that.
That just scares me.
It's amazing.
That's
Truly, truly amazing.
scary. Yeah, kind of scary.
So, by the way, Elon Musk suggested the other day, I don't often agree with Elon Musk about a lot of stuff, but on this one, I think he's right. There's nothing really left for them to train on, which means they have to do one of two things: produce a whole bunch more human-produced content, which is a content creator, I'm going to say, is going to cost a lot of money. So they're not going to go that way. Or they can create synthetic content, content that was created by AI, and use it to train AI. And if you got a sinking feeling in your stomach, like I'm pretty sure Christine does right about now, and I know I do, there's probably a good reason for that. Synthetic data. Isn't that phenomenal?
It's so it's depending on, depends on who you talk to, right?
And the
There's a
data in
certain,
question, I'd give that as well.
yeah. Oh, and by the way, a few months ago I looked at the data sets that are left to train on. The only real one left to train on was Facebook. Like that was the only data set that hadn't been totally
Well, and that's probably
sucked
because
up and
we
spit
keep
back out.
creating new stuff at such scale
Yeah,
and putting up there every day.
exactly. So yeah, so
Yeah.
the synthetic data is what they call it, training on itself basically, right? So the problem is you have to be able to balance that with regular training as well on, non-synthetic data, real human data, because unfortunately what happens is as it consumes itself, as a snake eats its tail, it gets worse and worse and worse, and eventually what happens, and has happened in the past, is model collapse. And model collapse just means it basically just starts spitting out garbage because it can't, it's destroyed its training because it's training on what it or somebody like it, another AI model, put out there into the universe. So it, there has been successful use of it for, like there's one called Palmyra X004 model. This is from TechCrunch. And it was only cost $700,000 to develop compared to $4.6 million for an open AI model. But it's like a one-time thing. Like if you're open AI, you're constantly training, constantly training, constantly training. So you have to be careful because eventually you just get too much AI information and then they don't work. Models don't work anymore. And if you're putting hundreds of billions of dollars into something, I would think that you probably want to be really, really careful about that line. Because once the model collapses, you can't fix it. I guess if you could find new content in the trillion of tokens to go with it, maybe. But we don't have that, so it's such a weird technology, don't you think, Jim? I mean, like,
I
it's
think
so
it, well,
expensive, it's
how to say
so
this?
limited. Yeah.
I think, goodness, I have so many complex thoughts around large language model AIs. I don't understand why it is so critically important to keep them moving forward and training on new data in order to improve their service or utility when at this point they have trained on everything that has been read or posted publicly that they can get their, electronic mitts on. So we are still several million light years away from true, advanced general intelligence.
Well,
Well,
remember, you only
maybe
have
not
to make a
several
hundred
million
billion
light years
dollar
away, but we're
profit.
still several light years away from advanced general intelligence.
Ah, you just have to make 100 billion in profit. That's all that matters, right? There's
Well,
such democracy.
indeed, but I think there's a huge
I'm
amount of
kidding.
profit
That
to
is
be
not.
made without having to sacrifice so much money reinvesting in data that currently doesn't exist and blowing your entire model just to get a pool of knowledge that is going to degrade over time, or a pool of data that would degrade over time, makes little sense to me. So there's a lot of the moving like a shark, always having to go forward process with LLMs that I actually don't understand why it's so
Oh,
essential.
I didn't understand it either till I saw a TikTok this week, and I cannot tell you who it was. It was like a thought leader in AI, but I don't remember who it was. But just to backtrack real quick, yeah, because basically we're building nuclear power plants, and we're going to have to create new data somehow, and it's completely limited in, I don't mean limited in what it does, but limited by so many different obstacles, right? Like power, energy,
Yeah, indeed.
money, right? And so far, the only thing they can find that people pay for is writing stuff in a ChatGPT, which will never make 860 billion a year, which is what the industry has to make, according to Goldman Sachs. Just to break even. That's not profit. That's just to break even. So I asked that to somebody, and they sent me this video, and I really wish I could remember who it was, but they had a really good point, and they said, you know what? It's because they want to replace humans for many things because the uber wealthy are afraid the world's going to collapse and they don't have the humans to do the work.
So that
I was like,
explains why they actually
wow.
don't give a damn about cost recovery.
Well, because now we're going to agents, right? And that's a story we'll cover in a little bit. And agents are going to do stuff for you, right?
Well,
So
of
that
course,
has to, it, this
that's
had to
just
come
natural.
before, this had to come before that, right? So one of our stories today, I've said right way too many times. One of our stories today is that they're predicting that the large language model is really going to kind of start going away next year, because it's just not worth supporting. But they're going into agents, which I think are going to make money and they'll finally be able to get profit and stuff. But you know what? Actually, you know what I thought?
Agents already exist and are everywhere on the web doing stuff for you every day. They're already
Well,
there.
no, not
What
these kind of
Altman is
agents.
talking about is a little bit more advanced than that.
Yeah, they're talking about agents who are like, you say, go book me a trip, and it logs into your stuff and it books the trip for you, like that kind of agent.
Gemini, yeah, indeed, that already exists. Gemini's already got that down. Or
What's that?
they already announced that they're doing that.
They're researching. Yeah, they're going to try to release one, but there's not one in the wild yet. I think it's in labs or something. But anyway, but just the point of all that is, I just remember who I talked to about it and who sent me something, and that was our dear friend Renee, who was absolutely brilliant on things and laid it all out for me and then sent me the video. And I was like, oh, wow, that makes 100% sense. Why are billionaires spending buying nuclear reactors, right? Why would they be doing that? I
Indeed.
don't,
And again, th
yeah.
think about this. They're investing, this is costing trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
And I don't care how many people have a $30 a month ChatGPT subscription that ain't paying for it over time. Just not going to happen. There's
No.
zero hope of cost recovery. Why are they doing
Yeah, so exactly.
it?
And of course this is just speculation on my part from what I was told, what I saw in the video. But the video made sense because we already know the billionaires have bought themselves like these private locations, has somebody underground in like the
Indeed.
West, Montana, like, and they're planning for a day when everything goes up, upside down. And but you still have to have humans, right? Because you have to have humans to do stuff. But if you're a billionaire locked in a bunker somewhere, very beautiful, 10,000 square foot with a pool inside bunker, you still have to have humans to bring food stuff and or grow food stuff for it, whatever it happens to be. And when I saw this video, I was like, oh yeah, that's what they're doing. Because in our next story, we'll find out, or one of our next stories, that they think by next year they can replace 30% of work hours in the U.S. with agents. So it makes billionaires richer because they never, these people, they're not a person. They don't need off days off. No, they don't need sick pay. They can run 24/7 and make them richer. And then, if things do go bluey, well, then they have something they can do the work for them.
So,
Or most
how
of them.
much of your organization—not necessarily you, Christine, because but how many
I'm teasing you.
organizations you work with that you know of? How much of your organization, listeners, you might want to ask yourself, is involved in the basic job of organizing stuff? Think of all the stuff that the HR department does, for instance, for good and for ill. A lot of it involves basically organizing files, organizing information, moving data from file A to file B, filling in forms, and making sure that everything is compliant with everything else. How much of that work needs to be done by humans?
Well, I mean, personally, I would have it all done by humans, but I totally
But you're not a
understand
major
why.
corporation looking to achieve greater shareholder value.
Right. I'm a person who goes, there's inherent risk in that I wouldn't be willing to take. Large
Well,
language
indeed.
models are still large language models. And, right,
You live,
my,
this is
I,
this, you, I'm sorry, this is a society that has private insurance companies. I don't think that risk is
yeah.
risk to human life or experience is really a consideration anymore.
It is for me. May not be for
Well,
them,
I
but it is for
know, but
me.
you're not a major corporation
I know.
trying to shave cost to increase shareholder
Yes.
value. Come
I wasn't ready.
on,
I
what's
wasn't
important
arguing
here?
that.
It's 2025. It's the Trump era. Humans are not important.
Well,
Corporations are important. It's the way it works.
the interesting thing is, we have these corporations because, like, if we were having this conversation 10 years ago on here, it would sound like we were totally conspiracy theory. Like, we should be on our bell in the middle of the night, right? But we have many people. We have 2,500 billionaires in the United States now. We have people that have so much money, they can do what they want. We just found out today that Elon Musk bypassed all the regulations for building the boring tunnel underneath Vegas, right? We're built on sandstone and limestone and caligi. Our North Las Vegas is sinking. Not all of it, but parts of it, big parts of it. My friend was a lawyer in the lawsuit because of what they built on couldn't sustain.
Yeah,
What are we going to
well,
do when Musk puts all these tunnels underneath hotels
I
in
don't
Vegas? Like,
know.
oh my
I'm
God.
sitting here listening to him and his ilk talking about crashing my country's economy to force us to integrate with America. So I'm really a little concerned about holes under Vegas. But Musk and the tech bros and the direction that the tech world is going in right now and pushing is much more frightening than a few other billionaires losing their hotels to another
Oh,
billionaire's lack of concern of safety standards.
I'm just more worried about people getting killed. That's what I mean by that.
Oh,
Not worried
whatever.
about the I know Jane
Whatever,
doesn't
it's
do that.
2025.
Well,
They don't matter, remember?
no, sorry, can't buy into that. But
Well, you're in the wrong industry, I'm afraid.
you know what's really sad to me though? Really super sad. So I lucked into the tech industry. I had a degree in sociology and art. And I was a barista for a year because that's what you do when you live in the countryside of Virginia with a degree in sociology and art. And I liked into doing website design, and it taught me code because I could design. And it was early in, the visual internet, and there weren't a lot of people who could do that. So I got into tech, and I was like so proud of being in tech. Google had like, green initiatives, and 20% of their developers' time was to work on things that might better the world, and we got people longer vacations. That was all tech. We got all sorts of things changed about how you work because of tech. And then it's just the last like 5 to 8 years, it's just done this flip into what I feel like I'm part of a Marvel comic villains like world, right?
Well,
Like,
because we are.
Yeah, it's just a weird place to be, right? Like you sit here and you go, when did we give over our entire tech world to like supervillains from, Marvel? I just don't.
Sometime in the early 2000s, we just didn't realize it.
Right. Yeah, and if people don't aren't aware, the PayPal Mafia is people like Musk, Thiel, Andreessen, who am I forgetting? Altman. You all in the very early days of PayPal were going to displace fiat currency with PayPal, and it just didn't go that way. But they have been working on that dream for many years, including opening up cities, or trying to do it in the US, and they have done it in other countries where they have nobody can say anything to them. They're completely independent inside of a like a state or a country. And they run it on crypto and blockchain. And they did it, I don't remember what country it was, but they totally destroyed the economy of that country. So they have this dream of doing this, but now they have access to our government to do it for them. So it's
Oh, I don't. I think
if you
they've
look
kind of
at.
given. I think they've honestly given up on the idea of creating a Ayn Randish utopian society, and they've just sort of gotten into creating more of a Aldous Huxley, George Orwell kleptocratic, Vladimir Putin style kleptocratic society.
Oh, definitely
That's what I
possible.
think we're looking at now. In
Definitely
fact,
possible.
the tech
But their dream
bros have
was.
gone at X and reinvented company script. X has released early at a speech at CES 2025, X CEO Lindo Yaccarino announced the upcoming launch of a payment system, Xbox, X Money, basically the recreation of company script for people who are creators on X. Some money will be transferable to Greenback for whatever they're worth in the near future, but or Bitcoin. Yeah, it's a introduction of a new currency through the X or Twixter ecosystem, X Money, or as they used to call it, company script.
Yeah. Oh, but they sought to acquire the money transmitter license in New York, according to payments, PYMNTS. Obviously, they couldn't buy the payments domain because there's no vowels in there. They were considered unfit for that license. So they may not be able to roll out in the way that they hope to. But, like, what people are leaving Twitter in like droves. Like, what does he think he's going to do with this? Like, are you going to trust him with, it says all your financial information, your whole financial life would run through their app. Even people that like Musk, I don't think would be that comfortable with anybody doing that. But like, would you give your whole life over to an app?
Of course
I
not. I
don't
wouldn't give
think
my whole life over to these people. This is all,
so. Yeah.
their world is about control of information to create a world where we, the people, are not allowed to hold decision makers to account.
Yes.
I look at what Musk is doing to other democracies, to Germany, to England, the United Kingdom, to my country, Canada, to your country, the United States, and think, God, no, I'm not giving him access to my bank account. No, absolutely not. Not because he'd do anything with it, for goodness sakes. I think he spent my entire fortune picking his teeth, but me and several hundred million of my closest friends, that's actually a little bit of scratch.
Well, I don't think my concern wouldn't be that he's going to take the money. I don't think he's going to take it. But my concern would be he's so sloppy and he's so high. And that's not me saying something that we
Well,
don't
it's not
know. He
Elon Musk who'd be
talks.
running the money either. It's the evil intent behind what he'd do with the profits from running
Right, but
it.
that's true. But I'm just saying, like, the reason I wouldn't give someone like him access to my money is I know how he's run Twitter. I know how badly he's run Twitter. And I know that he has these warped ideas about how you run a company. I'm not putting my money into an app they have access to, and something glitches, and oops, all your money's gone. Sorry, it's blockchain, it's crypto. We can't get it back for you. Right?
Indeed,
So,
that South
yeah.
Park meme, whoop, it's gone.
Yeah, whoop it's gone. So that's why I wouldn't do it. Not simply because of the oral horrible politics about him, because hey, that's a thing. But also because he's just a messy, messy guy.
Well,
Like,
last.
he didn't create anything. He I love this great TikTok real quick. They call him a cuckoo bird, and this guy, and he's a very well-known poet or something. And he says he's a cuckoo bird. He goes into the nest, he takes over the nest, and he kicks everybody out. And that's what he's done with all his companies. He didn't create anything. He didn't make anything. He's just really good at getting people to give him money to invest. And he's even now he can't get the security clearances for SpaceX for the new projects. So it's just so much math. So I just wouldn't trust anything to him on top of
Last thing I
everything.
want to say about Musk for now, at any rate, he is trying to purchase Wikipedia.
Is he?
Yeah,
I thought that was a
he's
joke.
offered $1 billion to Wikipedia and is doing his very best to diss Wikipedia's donation efforts for fundraising efforts. And by the way, listeners, please, if you have an opportunity, give $3, $5 to Wikipedia. You've used it your entire careers, and it's meant a hell of a lot to you. And any one of us, like honestly, goodness, those of us who have not abused Wikipedia at least once in our careers, cast the first mouse across the room. It can't be
Yeah, I
me
would
because
say
I know I've done that.
let's say the archive in there too. Like make two payments one day to the Internet Archive, I think.
At the same time, the Heritage Foundation, the same people who are behind the infamous Project 2025, are trying to out. Wikipedia editors who wrote content about the current conflict, the current war between Israel and Hamas, citing that content as quote unquote anti-Semitic. So they're trying to out and dox these editors specifically.
I haven't
And
heard about that.
this really worries me. I think Wikipedia is actually the very last bastion of actual democratic people-owned media on the internet. I can't think of any other one that exists that continues to exist.
No, you're probably right. I can't think of any either.
Okay, moving right along.
Yeah, and
And
by the
incidentally,
way, to our
Wikipedia's fact-checking system is extraordinary.
Listeners, unfortunately, in the current moment, politics are sometimes going to overlap our stories because the people in tech have decided to become political, and their politics affect tech. Oh,
Yeah.
just so people know, yeah.
Yeah, and again, apologies, friends. Like, honest to goodness, like, we don't mean to sound like this, but growl.
Oh, you can't. But there's no way around it at this point. We've tried very hard.
My
So.
favorite social media space, aside from that one that Google had out, whose name is like temporarily escaping me, but had those circles you could join, which I thought was really cool. Sorry?
G plus, which is really
G
identity
Plus
plus.
rocked. I
Yeah.
liked G Plus. I don't care it was an identity engine. I still loved its user interface and the way they laid it out. I loved it. It's awful that they killed it. But since then, Facebook, I'd have to say, is the default place I've gone to. It's where the oldsters hang out. I'm an oldster. You know what? There are SEO communities in Facebook that go back
Yeah.
to the earliest generation.
We know
And
people all over the world. How else will we ever keep up with everybody?
yeah. And so
Yeah.
Facebook has been such an important environment. It's the primary environment that Christine and I plan the show in or exchange information in. And this week, Meta Corporation, the owner of Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp and a bunch of other incredibly culturally important applications, officially stepped over to the un I don't even know what the right word for the new world is, but the side where that suggests that anything goes, that factual moderation is not important or protective moderation is not important. Meta's ending its fact-checking program in favor of a community note system similar to the one used at Twixter.
That's
It's awful. It's so demoralizing. And many
So
people are now wondering if they should stick around Facebook.
I do get that. The one thing though is their fact checking system has normally been a horrible fact checking system because, like, I'll get something that's not like
Yeah.
this picture isn't a picture, it's a drawing. Okay, right? But hey, I just reported a hate group that has pictures, really bad pictures of what they do to people. And it's like, that doesn't go against our terms of service. So, you know, they're terrible at it anyway. So I don't know if it's going to make much difference on the platform. Because, you know, I would wake up one morning and they get a new fact checker that was like, because that's another thing Zuckerberg talks about, who's anti-truth and facts. And then would mark go back like 2 years and mark all my posts. And then I'd appeal and I'm like, what are you talking about? This is all factual. And then I would look up the fact checker because they didn't vet them very well. And they weren't really a fact checker. They were just like a group who had an agenda who wanted to get in there, and they did. They've also done that in community notes. I'm in
You know
community
what?
notes.
I will grant that their fact checking has been abysmal and at times feels like it's been purposefully obtuse. I will agree with that. Like no argument from me. But the fact that they had a fact checking program and gave some import to it, and more importantly, the fact that this week, leading towards the inauguration of Donald Trump, a re-inauguration of Donald Trump, they gave up the fact-checking program,
Yes.
and are now allowing extreme anti-LGBTQ comment, including calling persons of different sexuality mentally ill, and
Yeah,
you know what I got
it's
today? I got my very
what?
first Jew baiting
Oh
comment
my
that
gosh.
made it through to my feed. I haven't seen that on Facebook. I mean, I saw that years and years and years ago, and then they put a stop to it as quickly as they could, and it's back on my feed again as of this morning.
Does he know that the team that does the fact check system wasn't told? They found
Well,
out when he announced it.
is that a fact?
Yeah, it is a fact. And he's moving them to Texas,
Oh,
where they
indeed,
want
yeah,
to have a UN.
because so
Yeah.
people don't think they're liberals from California.
And again,
For
this is
God's sake.
political. We can't avoid the politics here, right? We do know for fact, because it was said by Trump yesterday, that he threatened Zuckerberg, and Zuckerberg responded to the threats. So, you know,
That
this
is
was
known,
as,
because I didn't know that. Really? He did.
yeah, yesterday a reporter asked him, did your threats work? And he said, I think so. So, because, you know, he threatened him in the past with regulations and stuff last time he was president. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Zuckerberg would probably walk halfway there himself without any cajoling. But, the system is the
The
words they're
incoming,
using.
you just
What's that?
said the incoming American president was asked by a reporter, did
Mm-hmm.
you threaten the owner of what is effectively
Did
the public
your
square?
threats work?
And the
Yeah.
president said, yeah, I did.
Basically, I mean, it was a little worded a little different, but basically, yeah, that's what was
That's
said.
phenomenal.
Yeah, right. So we know that he already, okay, we'll just take it to the fires real quick. He said a couple days ago or last week, if there was problems in California that required, you know, federal help, you know, fires and things, that they would have to agree to some change in the gas mileage law or something, and otherwise it wouldn't help. So same thing he does with the companies, but the difference is, like, we do know Zuck has been terrible about content moderation, has been terrible about moderating what's truly awful on his platform. And by the way, can we just make this one comment? I'm sorry, I don't usually talk about people's appearance, but he looks like he went to the 70s and came back in a time machine. He's got like a gold chain and, you know, 70s clothes. This is kind of funny.
As we're
But
learning, with the late 30s and 1940s, everything old is new again.
yeah, I guess so. But the big thing that they're saying here is that he's going to return civic, I just lost it. I had it and I scrolled back to it. The recent elections, this is his comment, also felt like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. And free expression in the tech world right now by the tech bros isn't free speech. Free speech is not when people can just say whatever they want. You and I both know there's the paradox of hate speech. and how it silences other people's speech, so therefore it is not free speech. So it's all that based on that freedom, free speech, lack of censorship, and then they put a flag behind it and call it the First Amendment. So that's what he's doing too, and his wording when he talks.
Well, I can guarantee that on one platform, for sure, maybe two or three others, Zuckerberg is effectively limiting my speech because I ain't going to participate.
Right. That's the point of the paradox of free speech. But Blue Sky, we do know Blue Sky is a good place if you're leaving. I am not leaving Facebook just because if we're all divided and we don't talk to anybody, then the next 4 years may be even worse. So I'm staying on Facebook for now. But I do have
Well.
a Blue Sky account, so
I am at Blue Sky. I'm actually quite active at Blue Sky relative to my general social media activity, which is
which
like,
is
I don't like
not
social media very much because I'm a
yes,
hermit.
Jim is not a social media person, no.
No, but I'm really enjoying Blue Sky. In fact, I just put the show we recorded last week up at Blue Sky and got immediate good response from several of our listeners. So thank you, Blue Sky. Good dopamine rush. I needed that.
Oh, and I forgot. This was a story because you're throwing. I forgot. I'll make it real quick. I forgot to add. I knew I forgot to add something. That they were attacked by a bot network. They got themselves in there, and they're actively removing the bot network. Their goal is to be the exact opposite of Twitter and Facebook, and not to have those problems. So, if you're experiencing bots on Blue Sky right now, know that they're actively shutting it down. Yeah.
Okay, now, finally, SEO stuff. Seriously, we're
Okay,
at
do
the point in our script that I really always look forward to because it's the SEO stuff, which is always so much more fun. Just
true.
as a reminder to people out there, SEO and AIO is pretty much the same thing. The question is, what is SEO? Not what is AIAIO. So that's a fun song.
AIAO.
So if you do well with your website, if it's a well-oiled machine that is incredibly accessible to crawlers, that uses structured data to express information to the search engines or to their crawlers. If you are providing information as many possible ways as you can, you'll probably do well in generative AI mentions, generative AI statements, overviews, or summaries. And you'll rank well in the blue links that are often found around or below the generative AI summaries. And if you're really lucky, you'll be sourced in the generative AI summaries. Point being, technical SEO is really important.
Yes.
So all the stories afterwards, please listen to that with that and listen to them with that in mind. SEO has not fallen off the side of the marketing toolkit. In fact, making your information clearly accessible is more important than ever.
It
And
really is. And go ahead.
controlling the flow of that information. That's going to be the next stage in SEO.
Yeah, I saw a post today on LinkedIn from someone I deeply respect. I'm not going to use their name because I'm not trying to trash them. But they're talking about getting into the search engines with the AI. AI does not have search engines themselves. They're not going out and like looking at your site and bringing back your content. They're training on your site, right? So they're talking about how you have to make sure that they're crawling your pages so you can be included. You don't. If you don't want them calling your pages, you don't have to do that. If you want to, that's great. Let them do that. But if you don't want to do that, as long as other people are mentioning you, they're going to train on that. So they are going to know you exist. Like I could make up a word and block that site completely and then have 100 people post about it. And it would wind up, if it wound up in the training, that word would exist. So just be aware that you don't, if you don't want them to crawl, you have proprietary information in there or something you don't want them to access by accident. Whatever happens to be, you don't have to, as long as other people are talking about you. Because what they do is they have a co-search engine. The search engine pulls back the documents and they summarize the document. They're really summarization engines. They're not search engines. Just so people are clear about that so they don't worry about, like, I can't get in. And also, if you want to be in the AI overviews or any of the AI products in Google or in Bing, you have to have a strong placement in the actual search results because they're using that to reduce the hallucination problem, the wrong information problem. So your SEO is more important than ever.
Yeah,
because
you're running a
the way
big
to get,
e-com site and you want those products to actually be pulled up as reference mentions. That's technical SEO.
you're, and all your SEO is just more important than it's ever been, because these engines have to have search engines to work. The summarization engines can't work on their own. Not well. I mean, they can, but they do a lot of mistakes, a lot of mistakes. So they have, Microsoft and Google have co-processes, and they bring in the search from the search engine, and they bring in the documents that scored highly, and then they summarize all those. So as your SEO game, because I see a lot of articles like, your SEO is done, don't worry about. No, your SEO game is more important than ever if you want to be in those overviews.
But here's the deal. If you want to get into SEO and you want to get into the internet webmastering game, choose your niche carefully. I'm sorry to all those people who published those incredible information sites that did well over the last 15 to 20 years. And they actually, these people did an amazing service to humanity and to the web and all that sort of stuff. And Google didn't care at the end of the day. That's not a niche you probably want to be exploring right now. You're not going to make a lot of, made for AdSense websites are not going to be turning a lot of money in the near future. Which is unfortunate again, because that spurred a lot of really good content creation and a lot of crap too. But there was people out there who made really good, strong businesses on that.
It did, although I don't know that that's that intentionally. As we know, the helpful content update is the precursor for all that, and we still believe the helpful content update just is broken.
But at the
They
end of
did
the
say they're going to
day,
try to fix it, so.
yeah. But given that AI overviews are taking over that entire that space, just the instant reference on what all the great spots to eat in Ann Arbor, stuff like that. I just don't really see that being a place that if you throw a bunch of effort into, you're going to see a bunch of return in the future. Which is, incidentally, big loss for the LLMs because what do you think you were training on, folks?
Yeah, that's the thing I never get about all this. If you like with agents, right? We're going to get rid of all the websites. Well, great. What will you be training on? And where will you be getting your products from? And what will people be interacting with if they don't have the websites? Because your agent is just an in-between. It's not actually the thing. So if it doesn't have the thing to go to, there won't be a thing.
Eventually, the idea is that AI will start fetching information specifically for each individual user. Every website, every business, every entity that's on the web will have an agent of some sort or another that communicates with the great AIs in the sky and keeps them fully informed on all the happenings of that business, website, school, university, institution, church, or what have you, and also is able to, provide information directly to people who interact or other agents, other personals, agents who interact with that agent. But in fact, a whole bunch of the human element is moving away. We're moving away from a whole bunch of the human interactive element in the new vision of web services.
Yeah, but whose vision is that? Because I don't hear any of my friends clamoring for it, and they're not in tech. So when I said to them, would you want this thing on your computer? And they're like, and no. I'm like, no.
Would you
Someday, if
want
you, regardless if you're.
but if you asked a different question, such as, would you want your fridge to order basic things for you? You're running out of milk. Why should you have to think about it? Just get more milk.
No.
Okay.
No, don't. I don't want to like come
Some
home and
people,
find out my refrigerator spent $200 at the store.
I'm one of those people who doesn't like allowing the utility companies to bill me directly and take the money directly out of my bank. That weirds me out. I'm of a certain age, but that seems to be a very popular service with banks and
Oh,
utility
I have no
companies.
problem with that. It's a bank, and they also held a federal regulation. The app on your fridge who's doing this with the agent isn't.
Well,
Also, if the agent's
this
on your
is.
computer, agents on your computer and they're logging into stuff, that is a huge security risk.
This is
So, you know.
the same stuff as, say, the Nest console on your home thermostat. It's basically the same idea.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Why
No, the Nest logs in
shouldn't?
after I log the Nest into my router, and it works with the router after I know what's going on. The agent's going to act independently. Oh, I want to go to a trip. I want to go see Jim in Canada, and it's like it's going to get everything, book it, and send me the tickets. And I know that sounds really good to the tech pros. Like, oh, everyone's going to want that, right? But we know they don't do any market research now. They just do stuff. And when I asked my friends, how would you feel about on Facebook? How would you feel about a computer program that went and did this stuff for you? And they're like, no, like, no, I don't want. You know how long it took for Americans to trust using a credit card online
I have no
fully?
idea, but in
Like,
certain instances, I would absolutely want someone, a program that I controlled to do that for me. I
you
would
don't control it
absolutely
though.
want that.
You're not controlling it.
Who says I'm not
That's the
controlling it?
thing. You're not. The agent does it for you. You don't control it.
Well, I know, but what if I input the information I want into the agent and send the agent forth to do my bidding for me?
So it goes and
Like,
logs
why
into the
not? The
website.
agent
You will
learns
let
from
people take
everything I
money.
do.
You won't let the money take out of your bank, but you'll let a program on your computer go book a trip for you?
Have you ever seen me book a trip for myself? Disaster always happens. Every time I book
Yeah,
the wrong
but
date or I get the wrong connector or I hell, I've gone to the airport and had to book a ticket right there and then because I got the wrong month. It's happened on more than one occasion. I
but
would
you
love
said
it
you
if
won't let
something
the
did it for me. It would save me
you
money.
won't let the power company take the money out of your account, but you would let a
No, because
bot
they're
on your computer
nuts.
do
I don't trust them at all. The power company, my goodness,
it?
they're crazy. Now, my
So
agent, I mean, heck, it sees me when I'm sleeping.
oh gosh, no, like totally. I have no interest. We'll see. We should bet a dollar like this time next year. Did agents take off or did they not? I'm saying they're gonna be early
I think,
adopters and make
honestly,
it
I
look
think they
like.
have to.
Let me
The web is
finish.
about to become so complicated.
No, it doesn't have to become complicated. The
But it
large
will.
language models are dying already. Like the industry is like, they're gonna be gone next year. We're moving to agents. So my thing is, we'll take a little bet here. Like people, the listeners can hear us on January 9th next year, if it's a Thursday, if not, whatever's closest. I say they'll be early if they roll them out this year. If they don't roll them out by summer, it won't matter. But if they roll them out this year by summer, I say they'll be early adopters, tech people, you know, maybe some of the younger people, and that's where it stops. Like other people are like, no, I don't want that on my computer. And if there's a security breach that is important, then it kills it completely. So you're the opposite, right? You think that everyone will just take off with it?
I think that Asiatic computing is absolutely the future. My cell phone is going to be the neurocenter of my organizational life, and I don't necessarily want that. But
Well, you're not going to have to
I
use
don't
it.
think there's a damn thing I can do to stop it. I think it's just going to happen that way. Will it happen within a year? I don't know. Will it happen in the next 4 or 5 years? Unquestionably.
Now, you and I
And
have been through the virtual, what was it from Zuckerberg that's dead now, and Second Life that died, and crypto died, and NFT died. I mean, people are still buying crypto, but it's not the thing that was. Web3 has pretty much died. We've been told so many times that there's these big revolution coming. When people don't participate, the revolution doesn't come. And people have to want the product. And people might like the idea when they first built, because the marketing commercial is going to be really slick. You and I both know that. It's going to be like, hey guys, you can just go to sleep and it'll book the thing for you. And you get up in the morning, the tickets are already there. And then the first time it makes a mistake, the person's like, what the heck was I thinking? I just spent $200 on a trip I don't want. Right? Because if it's complex, it's likely to make mistakes. And you have your personal
you
way
know
you
what?
want to do things, right?
We got
So,
we have our loose bet, Christine. I'm not going to bet on everybody adopting it by this time next year,
well,
but will
not
there be
everybody.
widespread user adoption, and will
Yeah.
they be well on the way to improving the system, much like they have in several successive iterations of large language model AIs? Sure.
I think we'll just
I
have fun, Jack.
absolutely see that going somewhere. And being
We'll just have
adopted
fun,
for
Jack.
use by like large numbers of people over time.
And I'm
In
like, yeah,
fact,
I think early adopters.
I can't imagine a future of computing given how complex I know things are about to get. That doesn't have that. The only thing that can stop it, honestly,
People.
is no, the only well, the only thing that can stop it is people. Is if conditions are if the bottom drops out of the economy and people can't afford it. That's the only thing I think that would stop it.
Oh, you know, I think more than that. Like, just people, like Mastodon, right? People use it, love it. It was so much friction for me. I don't care,
Well,
right? So if people
and
don't
what?
adopt it en masse, then I won't because it'd be too expensive to run.
Okay, we'll see
So
what happens.
yeah, we'll see what happens. Just friendly bet.
Okay, now people are using AI to do all sorts of stuff in Google. There was this terrible post, this terrifying post that came up. It's been passed around on Facebook and on Blue Sky today. Do not use generative AI to create contents to create links. Don't do that. And there's again, it's a horrible story posted by a woman named Becca Harrison. She didn't name the name of her company, but this is her post, and I'm going to quote directly from it. Today, I learned the company providing my project's web support has been outsourcing SEO backlink provision to a third party that's used generative AI to create web pages and blog posts as if it's authored by my project. Not only are they factually incorrect, but also in ethical opposition to my work. The Gen AI pages, generated AI pages, all designed to improve my website's SEO, insists that generative AI can help filmmakers be more environmentally sustainable in various aspects of production. This is genuinely terrifying because it's not true and could potentially cause reputational damage. She goes on to, talk about asking people to sit back for a moment and do critical thinking. And she has requested that the content be removed, insisting it be removed within 24 hours of giving notice, and warns people, check up on what your SEO team is doing for you.
That happens a lot. We know back in the day of Penguin, a lot of companies got hit because they bought black hat links and the company didn't know and they woke up with no traffic. So, and then they were down for 1 to 2 years. So I've been, the thing is, he didn't just say to obtain links, right? We already know that's a problem. He did say generative AI. So I consistently tell people, like, you can take the risk if you want, but we do have evidence that when they hit you, you lose all your traffic and you have to rewrite all the content and you have to spend all that money and you're down for months. So is it really worth it not to pay a writer, $20 to $100 a page to write it for you so you don't have to worry about any of that? Because you're going to spend money on GPT anyway. And if you do get like this, if they spam and they mark you as spam like this, I do recovery all the time. You're not getting your site back for a very long time, your
And
traffic
here's the
back
funny
anyway.
thing, Ms. Hera, whoever hired this agency, who hired the other company to do this, the third party to do it, you would have spent less had you hired the writer just directly. Because, you have to hire the agency. It's like, sort of like middleware in between you, in between your company and the actual content creator. You got to pay for that middleware. Just pay the content creator, for goodness sake. And more
Exactly,
importantly,
exactly.
check what they're writing, for God's sake. It did go up on her website. If there was a published ethical violation, or if something was published on her website that was in ethically opposed to what she was doing, I don't know how to say this. Business owners, even if you outsource that response, the responsibility of putting it there to somebody else, you are still responsible for having it there. You need to check it daily. And you don't need to write it yourself, but you need to check what someone else has done in your name.
Yeah, the problem is it just depends on the size you work on, right? Because a lot of times they don't tell the SEO that they've done it. So it's
Well,
like,
I know, but
what?
I mean,
What
indeed,
did you do?
but you got to walk around your. I owned a cafe once, and I didn't have to, but at the end of every day, I would just walk around to look at stuff, just because that's what you do before closing the door. Maybe it's old fashioned. I don't know.
No, it's not old fashioned at all. It's just on some larger sites, it is really hard to tell that something's happened if they don't tell you because you can't crawl it every day and there's no way to monitor it every day because you don't have access to that
I'll grant
usually.
that.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, oh, by the way, that bot network, it just popped up from one of the bot networks from Blue Sky was pro-Russian disinformation botnet.
Really? I wonder.
Yeah.
Aren't
Go
they
figure.
all?
Pretty much. I think I've talked to one real human on Twitter that, attacks me from that side of things in like a month. They're just all fake accounts telling me how awful I am. They're really bad at it. It's like a 5-year-old insulting you. Okay, go ahead.
Speaking of dumbass fake stuff,
Dumbass fake stuff.
see that, huh?
I
So,
like
okay,
it. I like
and this is from Microsoft too. It's like really funny. So Microsoft is tricking big users to think they're on Google.
it. It happened to me today while I was prepping for the show.
Oh, okay, you know what? Explain this then. What happened to you?
I was searching. And I tried to go to Google and it looked like Google, but I was like, but that doesn't look like Google's font because you and I know we work with it all the time. You notice something slightly different. It's not exact. And then I was like, why does it feel like Bing? And then I'm like, oh, I'm not in Google. I'm in Bing.
So why did you think you were in
So
Google?
I because it looked like Google. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it looked like Google. So yeah, so it doesn't
Did
have
you
the
do
Bing logic.
something that made you think you might have gone to Google?
No, it flipped. No, something flipped. Like, sometimes if your stuff goes blah, blurks out. That's my new word, blurk. Blurks out. It blurks out. So I just changed real fast. And so I thought that it was, I should still be on Bing, but it looked like I was on Google. Well, maybe my tab just moved. I was on desktop. So I don't know. But when I read this story, I'm like, oh, that just happened to me today. So Bing, you're strong enough on your own. You don't need to pretend to be Google.
What happens is when people are on Bing and they like type Google into like the little search box, the little
Yes.
query box on Bing, it opens a new query box and repositions the user's perspective on the page so that Bing's logo is, above the fold a little bit, like you scroll down and
It's
the
above
logo's
the
gone
top. It's
away
above the nav. Yeah, it's above the
above the
nav.
nav, and you can't see it. But if you scroll
Yeah.
up again, you can see it, and then you're at Bing.
Yeah, it was weird.
Tricky,
Like,
tricky, eh? Like,
it's very tricky.
what?
Because I was just like, what just happened to my pages? I was trying to go to Google, and it looked like I'm on Google, but it doesn't look like Google. But it looks like Bing. Why am I on Google Bing?
Okay,
I don't
so this is
know.
actually happening. It's
Yes.
completely juvenile. This is the search engine equivalent of white text on a white background or something, but they're doing it. So there you go. If it
Pretty
happens to you, it happened to you.
much.
Okay, so when they're done with you and they don't care about you anymore, they just throw you away. Done. Reddit is no longer ranking on Google suddenly. Having
Yeah,
trained on everything Reddit's ever written on Reddit,
well,
we just don't care anymore.
no, I don't know where this, I saw where it came from, but I actually did a video 2 days ago and sent it to Sundar on Twitter how bad it was because I was trying to find out. So I was like writing something. I was like, how many percent of the people in the world are blue-eyed and blonde hair, natural blonde hair, which is me, right? And I went, let's go look. You know how hard it was to find the answer? I got like people, there's another story about the extra boxes they're adding now. So I got all these question boxes, but then I got mostly Quora and Reddit all down the page, even reels of Reddit and stuff. There's several. It's horrible. Oh, yeah. So the story says that Reddit has dropped off. But if you look at the graph, Jim, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the graph. It's a blip. Somebody wrote like they dropped Reddit, and I look at the graph and it's like down, like looks like maybe down less than 5%. That's not Google dropping you out of the index. But we'll see. They could be experimenting, and I just didn't get the experiment. It's totally possible.
If you're in Search Console and you think you fixed something and you want Google to know, you click on validate fix and you think, ha, good, I just told Google. And they're going to come and they're going to see that I fixed it and they're going to be so proud of me. And they're going to give me a lollipop and stuff, right? Because I know I think that without the lollipop, exactly. I don't really think it. But I do think I'm going to get rewarded somehow, even though I'm not.
Maybe.
When almost in almost every circumstance.
Yeah. Barry wrote the story and
How
then
many
John came back and
amputees do
said,
you have?
yeah.
These days.
John's like, yeah, I know. John's like, well, in some situations, like amp, people still have amp, really?
Yeah,
Okay.
like, so
Yeah.
when you click Mark is fixed, what you're actually doing is checking Google's crawl cycle. You're getting an indication of when Google comes back and starts re-looking at your pages again, but it doesn't necessarily mean Google's going to prioritize to come back and look at them faster. It's not really that important to them.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a check, basically. I mean, you need to do it as an SEO to see if fixes were done, if things are being indexed, things like that. But no, it doesn't make them come back and go, oh, you're amazing now. Let me re-rank your site. That's not the process.
Yeah. Moving on. But again, it does give you an indicator of when Google co does come back and start looking at your pages. So it gives you an indication of their crawl cycle. I do not know what happens if you continually bang on the validate fix button.
It won't let you. It's like you're already like it's already fixing. It'll run until it runs out of the fix.
Well, yeah, but what about when it unvalidates? Like when it looks at you and goes, "Yeah, you
Oh
didn't
yeah.
actually fix it, sucker." And then you bang on it again. What happens
You
then?
do. Nothing. Because
Okay.
they're not doing anything but processing the URL. So yeah, nothing.
So just jam on that button all day long. It doesn't really matter.
Oh,
It's like a, if you think of it like a like bell at YouTube. Okay, don't actually. That's bad. That's bad and unethical advice.
okay.
Okay, so if you lose a whole bunch of links for whatever reason, it's probably not a big deal.
Yeah, this is one of their, though, links don't really matter. But in real life, if you like, because the person asked if they lost a whole bunch of authoritative sources. And John's like, why would you lose that? And the guy's like, yeah, no, it's just hypothetical. But basically, it was saying if you lost, like, I'm a small site and I've got links from the New York Times, or I'm like Zappos and I have links from Harvard and Yale and Stanford because of my management practices. And they suddenly just go away. If there's enough of them in comparison to the rest of the links you have, you definitely would see a decline. So,
I would
I
think
don't know.
so
We
too,
made,
actually. I would think so. But what if you lose a whole bunch of links that were going to various product pages from other sources?
Well,
Maybe they're not
if
strong
you're,
links. Maybe they're not even very
yeah.
important links.
If you lost a bunch of cruddy links, now nothing's really going to happen. I mean, you might lose a little, you know. Strengths, but the question was asking about authoritative links. So, and John was kind of, what they always do around links, like, well, it could maybe not, but but links aren't that important. Yeah, tell anybody who's actually trying to rank a website how unimportant links are, and they will tell you that is not true. And
Indeed.
I adore John, but that's what they're told to say by Google. There's
Okay,
been
we
no,
are.
nobody's researched it and found that links didn't matter. At all. So we can do these quick.
Okay.
So Google is going to give you Discover as a listen audio if you go to Google Labs and sign up for it. And it's going to give you a 5 minute or somewhere around there overview of the top stories you'd be interested in for the day. And you need to opt into the Daily Listen Search Labs experiment on Google app for iOS or Android for it to work. So not on your desktop.
So it's
You
like
go
what,
to home.
like a 5 minute preparatory podcast?
I guess, like of the top stories. Yeah. Now you go to the homepage, you see a box with a subtitle made for you. Basically, it sounds like they're trying to compete with like TikTok. TikTok doesn't summarize, but they give you people give you audio and news, right? And then it's just a personalized AI-powered audio experience. We'll find out if it people like it because it'll either become a thing or not.
Know what Google's doing? They're creating a personalized daycast. I was about to call it a newscast, but it strikes me as it's going to be more like a morning show, except it's only 5 minutes long, but you can put ads in there. Interesting. They're creating
Both.
space.
So you can't put ads in there. Good point. And you can pay charge more for them as
Yep.
their audio ads. Yeah.
They're making space. That's what Google's doing. Interesting.
So here's something I got also this week. What people are saying, expandable carousels. So it's basically like you are in the people are saying, and you get more off to the right hand side on a desktop or and your mobile is arranged different. I can't remember how because I got it on desktop. But anyways, it's just expanding the people are saying. I found the other day the reason I sent that video to Sundar was it was filled with people also ask, people also search, Reels, Quora, Reddit's UGC content. And my question was, what percentage of the world of our in the world, what population percentage is blonde haired and blue eyed? Which would be, you would think, an informational request. With a fact coming back, and I didn't get a fact in 2 pages. I got all UGC and this kind of stuff. So I found it a very unsatisfying experience personally. Have you gotten this yet? Where expanded carousels are?
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on that search query.
This someone made a really good point in TikTok about how minorities are treated based on culture and blah 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 on economy. And I guess I'm a minority, but not treated that way. I'm
Because you're
technically part of
blonde haired and
minority.
blue eyed?
Yeah, because we're less than, blue eyes are less than 2% of the world population, and blonde hair is also less than 2%. Natural blonde.
Yeah, I honestly don't think you still qualify in the use of the word minority.
No, I don't. No. That was the point of the video,
Oh, good.
is that
Okay.
society treats minorities different, minority traits differently depending on the economy, the society, the culture, all that sort of stuff. So no, I would not be a minority. I am not deemed as a minority or treated as one. But technically, I'm blonde hair and blue eyed. So I'm quite a minority in the world population. But we're celebrated for blonde hair and blue eyes. So it was interesting. I was just looking for the fact, like what was the percentage? I knew it was low, but I didn't know how low it was. So, no, Jim, no, I definitely would not call myself that at all. No. No. Just looking at the actual population of the world and actual numbers
No,
compared to
indeed,
how
sir.
different populations are treated based on characteristics. That's basically what it was about. So,
I'm curious. I was curious Google's response on that,
no, it was
especially
just
given
like,
Google's propensity to. Okay.
yeah. So, and then people test, people also ask, and people also search for refinements. Also, just a bunch of, we're talking about these for people who, can't look at what we're talking about. It's basically those ones where it has a question and a little finder, little magnifying glass. Those, I had four of those in one search page. Four, like, the same query I just told you. I had four. Like, people also asked, people also searched, people also asked
So what are they
four
giving you
times.
back when you when do you enter information into these? What are they giving
Well,
you back?
you click on it, it refines the search, and it changes your search and gives you another search page. The problem is it changes your search completely. So it doesn't really refine your search. It gives you a new page. If you click on it, you may just think you're getting the same page with some extras, but you're not actually moving to a different search.
I'm just trying to think of
So.
what Google thinks it's getting out of this tracking these
No,
user experiences.
I have no idea. I mean, seriously, I will send you the video and you can see if you have the same reaction. We can talk about another time. But I was just so frustrated because I'm like, I just want a factoid. It shouldn't be hard to find this factoid. I
Yeah.
spent like 20 minutes. I finally just gave up.
So Google's searching, jumping to the next story because we are seriously out of time. Google starts testing itself in dark mode. It's trying to save electricity.
A darker mode.
A darker mode, so even fewer pixels get illuminated on the
Yeah.
screen.
So
And then
anyone
there
who
is
gets.
more electricity to generate Bitcoin and generative
Probably.
AI responses.
Probably. Because if you're a hex geek like me, who did a lot of design, the version now is a dark gray, not a black, or before they changed. 0.11, or not, so point hash 1.11217 is the color, or the gray version was, and the black version is now that 1.11217. So, if you want to have black like Google, 1.11217 is your hex. So, yeah, they're just making it really darker. You got a really good point. You probably save energy. Moving on to Google Business, we find out that Google Business now can you can add to your menu. So you used to have to delete the whole menu and re-add it, kind of a pain. So now you can just add an option. You can edit it
So if you're
if
in
you have a
Google
Google.
if you have a Google Business profile for your restaurant and your restaurant has published a menu, you can easily edit that menu without having to download the whole thing and re-upload it again.
Exactly. And now we have going into almost our last story. We have Google says once again, they say this probably once every year, that your URLs have a minimal signal for search, meaning what's in the URL is a minimal signal. But there is a caveat to that. It's a minimal signal as a URL by itself, but as a link inside your site, it definitely has weight as they're trying to figure out what your site's about. So when you boot everything off the root, you don't give Google any signals. You have to have a proper site architecture, which is reflected in the URL. But the URL itself isn't what's giving you the weight. It's the URL as it is in a site architecture telling Google what the pages are about.
Well, yeah, and it's also the logical progression of information.
Yeah.
This leads to this, which leads to these.
Yes, but you have to always say that because when they say URLs don't matter, people think they mean nowhere do they matter, and they do matter in how they're used, but the URL by
So
itself.
again, so technically what Google's saying is correct. Like
Is,
technically it's
yes.
correct, but if you want to
Well, there you
envision
go.
something in your mind, you sort of look at the URL structure.
Yeah, and then Google takes off your domain name from the structure, so they don't know what your domain said about you. So now you've got just links, and if your links don't have any information in them because you're all off the root, Google doesn't know what's important. It doesn't know what it's about. It doesn't know what your categorizations are, and you make it much more harder. The best thing you can do ever in SEO is make it easy for Google to understand your site. Everything you do should be making it easy for users, but also making it easy for Google to understand your site.
Well, and that was just I was actually just going to note when you said about making it easy for Google to understand, the URL structure can be used by users to figure out
Yes.
where they
Oh,
are on a website.
100%. I use it all the time. Yeah, it's definitely good for users. It's not good for users to have your like everything off the root, or you're like, hey, this is my blog, and then you go into an article and it takes you back to the root because now you're not in the blog anymore. So, but Google does have heavyweight. Well, I can't say heavy, like we don't know how much, but we do know there's a definite change inside a site's visibility when it does proper internal linking structures and proper URL structures to reflect what's in the site.
There used to
You
be
and
a
I know
guy
that from the experiment we did.
in the industry named Gord Hotchkiss. And Gord's big thing was studying user behavior, how users behaved under different conditions. And this would I'm curious what he would say about a well laid out and hierarchical URL structure if that changes a user's ideas about the information that they're reading. For instance, Christine, you mentioned the blog post where you go to url.com/blog. Then when you click on the blog post itself, it goes back to url.com/name of blog post without the little blog directory in there.
Yeah.
Do they know that they're in the blog? Well, I guess they do because they clicked it, but that little blog
Yeah.
directory reinforces that they're there and makes that information and contextualizes the space that they were reading the information in.
That's why I love in page now is when you get to the third level for a section, you put them in the page, and then people know they're in that section at the whole time and what pages are there. But either way, I will say one thing to that. People, your websites are awful. I have had, like, occasionally, you know, when you audit, Jim, some are long, some are short, right? You can pretty much guesstimate. I have found so much on sites this year. So I tell everybody that listens to us, have somebody review your site because sites are bad, Jim. I've thought about buying that URL
People
website
are
from us.
lazy. What
Yeah,
URL?
well,
The
it's
URL
also,
sitesarebad.com?
yeah, well, it's not just the URLs, it's like everything. It's just terrible. Like, I go in and I'm like, oh, this will just be a 100-page little site. It'll take me like, 15 hours or so. No, it's 2 weeks later, I'm still diving into the problems of the website.
No. I'm at
So,
the URL itself. URL is that's you found one. You're
oh no, what was, remember websites that suck?
Oh my God, you gotta get that. That's a great URL.
I can't afford it myself right now, but it was available about 2 months ago. I looked at it because I'm like, I want to bring that back. It should be brought back to life. If anyone does it, have me come on board. Because it's like, I just want to list all the things I see so people stop doing it. Because they're making me take a lot of time on audits that shouldn't take a lot of time. So, yeah, everything from site architecture to internal linking to how you set up a blog to images. Oh, every site now has images that are like 1 to 10 megabytes. One site had 134 megabyte images. Yeah. So it's just a mess. So everybody out there, your sites are a mess. Have someone help you fix them. And one last thing before we go, because this is a cute story. I thought it was funny today. Do you know if you go into ChatGPT to get an image made of a clock, that it will only give you one time?
420?
10:10. No, 4:20.
What good is ten
So
ten?
somebody posted on LinkedIn today, and it kind of went viral, that he asked for a clock that said 3:30, and it said 10:10. And he did a whole bunch of them. It was like said 10:10. And everybody asked to do it. It all said 10:10. And that's because most of the clocks that people use in stock imagery, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I'm now going to have to look this up after we
Oh,
get
I can tell
off.
you exactly why.
Why?
Because when they used to list watches and catalogs, they found that the hands at 10:10 was the
Yeah.
most pleasing expression they could have
Oh.
on the clock's face.
Well, the AI trained on those images. So
That
it
makes
thinks that
perfect
the proper
sense.
time for a clock is 10:10. And
Now,
whatever you put in there, now they'll probably fix it now they've been, it's made the news and it's viral.
I
But
want
I just thought it was
users
funny.
to understand that if you take that clock and turn it upside down, you get 4:40, which is 20 minutes after 4:20, which makes it totally cool. Totally cool.
We're gonna stretch that out a little
Oh my
bit, huh?
God. The last couple of weeks, well, I'm not going to say that on the air, but you have no idea.
Yeah, I
It's
do. I talk to you most
been
days.
that clock has been, I've turned that frown upside down by turning that clock around. Yep, I have.
I like that. That's a good new phrase. So,
Okay,
yes, that's everybody. I
friends.
just thought that was a cute story. So, go ahead, walk us out, Jim.
I'm gonna walk us out because we have gone through a whole bunch of time, and the guys in the studio are sitting there going, "Come on, it's 20 after the hour. Let's go." Before we go, guys, before we go, I want to thank the guys in the studio, Brasco and Ricky, and the folks in the office, Darren and Brandy. And I also want to thank Audience Key and Wick Studio, our sponsors. Get out there, check out our end of year panel. It's out there live on streaming, and you can get it on, virtually anywhere. You can get fine podcast services near you. Last week's episode is now posted on the web, and this week's episode will hopefully be posted on the web awfully soon. Friends, on behalf of Christine Schackinger
Oh,
from Sites Without Walls, who just
and
has
Audience
something
Key
she
and
needs to
Wick
say.
Studio.
Say what?
Did you say them at the beginning? If we did, I'm sorry, I missed it. Wick Studio and Audience Key.
Just mentioned them. Wick Studio Audience Key, got a big love to them. And on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Be safe, be kind to each other, rank well. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.